Dr. Jake killed it. All right, so now let's go on to the next one, because this is kind of a sub-question that's in sort of the same thing, and it's really popular right now, and it's this: is stem cell research a sin? And so, again, stem cell research is not directly mentioned in the Bible, but just as we applied principles in cloning, so too we're going to apply principles here. We're going to define stem cell research for you, because if you haven't been in a human anatomy class, you probably have no idea what it is. So here's what it is. Stem cell research is a developing technology that focuses on using undifferentiated cells therapeutically to treat human disease and injury. Stem cells are primitive or unspecialized cells that can assist in tissue repair and rejuvenation. When they divide, stem cells have the potential to become any type of cell needed, such as a brain, blood, or muscle cells. There are two kinds of stem cell research. There's adult stem cells, or two types of stem cells, adult stem cells. These are not as versatile for research purposes because they are specific to certain types, such as blood, intestines, skin, and muscles. So the term adult stem cell is misleading because both children and adults have them. Okay, so adult stem cells would be like if you need skin, there's skin. If you need muscles, muscle, intestines, whatever. So they're taking cells of your skin and making more skin. All right, that's the idea. Then there's embryonic stem cell, which these are taken from aborted fetuses or fertilized eggs that are left over from in vitro fertilization. That's commonly known as IVF. They're useful for medical and for research purposes because they can produce cells for almost every tissue in the Bible. And so the embryonic would be that you have a, in the body. Sorry, every tissue in the Bible. My bad. All right, so the embryonic stem cell would be that you take an unfertilized egg, you fertilize that egg, and when you try to have that egg develop, it doesn't happen, or you fertilize it, and then you pull that out and then allow that to do its thing. Now, our answer to the follow-up to human cloning, we believe, and we're going to get into this in a couple weeks, we believe life begins at conception. At the moment a unfertilized egg meets a sperm cell, when those two things combine, at that moment that is life, and that begins conception, is that produces, that continues on. And so when we talk about fertilized eggs being used to produce, we feel like that's taking that life and beginning to use it for some other purpose. And it's really hard to justify life as a means to begin to supplement and to point elsewhere. That is not one you're going to have any time finding in the Bible as a good example to do. And so those are the two easy ways. Now I'm going to also put it to Dr. Jake again, because he's a doctor. He's done medical ethics. And so he'll help answer a lot of this and, again, share some more details there.
Let me give a couple of shout outs here. First, I will say there's an organization which has been very important in my development of thinking of medical ethics, known as the Christian Medical and Dentistry Association, CMDA. And there's a lot of information you can learn to get more context around some of these medical ethics questions, and also just more specific information. And so that's cmda.org is where you can go to sometime if you ever are interested in that. Second is just little, I mean, this is corny, but I mean, a shout out to God about the way that our bodies develop from, I just think about this, the more that he was mentioning this, and I think about what is a stem cell. Well, a stem cell is basically a very, it's what we call a naive cell. It's one that doesn't have any particular characteristics yet, but it can go so many different directions based on the information, the chemicals, the different cofactors that are helping it develop into a cell down the road. And so think about, I mean, an egg and a sperm, they form into one cell. The DNA then mixes. You have one cell at that point that has all of the genetic content to form into a human life. And then you begin to watch it, and it divides once, and it divides again, and it divides again, and it becomes a blastocyst. And then it begins to just reproducibly divide. We can predict exactly what day the eyes begin developing and what day the heart begins to beat and what the feet look like on average at 20 days or something. I mean, it's like literally it's that precise, and it all came from one cell. Okay, so these early cells in the dividing process, we call them that they have totipotent potential. Okay, they can turn into basically all cells at that point, depending on what kind of information that happens and turns one cell into a specific type of tissue. But these cells begin to then migrate in this little developing baby, even at 20 days old, 30 days old, 40 days old. The spinal cord is forming. The brain is forming. The eyes are beginning to bud at some point. And I mean, as you watch it, you begin to think about how amazing the process is, okay? And I would say, you know, you may even check sometime on the computer. You can go to Google. Just type in videos for developing baby or something. And you can, like, I watched one the other day. It was actually pretty cool. It took it from the very beginning. I mean, it took it from, you know, the guy swimming upstream to go to the egg, and then all of a sudden one of them winning out. And then it took it from that, you know, it took it from that into a baby sitting in a cradle. And it was like over a 5-minute period with like some kind of cool techno music, you know, going on. And it was awesome. And it, I was watching it, and I'm thinking, this is just amazing. You know, like I've studied this stuff in the past. I've forgotten a lot of it, I'll admit. But it's amazing whenever you really think about it. Now, so a lot of these cells that become our kidney or become our eyes or become fingernails or whatever, I mean, they came from a stem cell somewhere in our body, which then kind of differentiates into, you know, an identifiable type of tissue. So when we talk about stem cell research, it's very important to differentiate between adult stem cell research versus embryonic stem cell research. Now, adult stem cell research has come a long way, so that in the mid-2000s even, there have been some scientists make breakthrough where they can take, you know, cells from our skin, from other organs of our body. They can take cells from, let's say, the umbilical cord blood, from placenta, from various things like that, and they can find stem cells within that. And they can then, even if it is, let's say, a stem cell from the skin, if it's given the right media for that to kind of grow and to be directed, it can turn into, you know, something to help regenerate some spinal cord injury, or it can. So, you know, that's one thing, is that they've even come further in the past few years where it doesn't have to just be a skin stem cell can only produce skin. If they get the right, you know, early enough, if they get that really primitive stem cell within it, they can direct it to become different types of tissue. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important because there are a lot of different medical problems that could potentially be improved or repaired or cured if you could get some tissue that would be compatible with that person. Okay, so examples may be Parkinson's disease. Well, what's going on in Parkinson's? In our brain, there's a part that produces dopamine. It's very important. And in people with Parkinson's, that part of the brain begins to deteriorate, and it can't make dopamine anymore, and therefore they begin to get a predictable kind of constellation of symptoms. Well, what if, you know, then we give them medications to try to help increase dopamine output. And let's say that doesn't work. Well, you know, it's possible that you could get some stem cells that could be implanted into that person that would then be able to kind of go to that specific part and to regenerate some dopamine-producing brain. So, I mean, that's a possibility. It's already being used in other things, like, let's say, spinal cord injury. People are getting stem cells injected in. You know, people with leukemia being treated with umbilical cord stem cells that are getting in there and trying to help out with that. And there are various other kinds. And really, when we talk about stem cell research, the only ones that have shown any kind of actual results so far have been adult stem cell research. Embryonic stem cell research requires an embryo. And that's the big crux of the problem, is that you are taking, you know, let's say either an aborted embryo or you are manufacturing these embryos. And the reason people would do that is because scientists, they kind of get excited about the possibility of dealing with these cells that are right there in the most primitive state and suctioning them out with a little pipette, putting them over here and beginning to try to help differentiate them into different types of cells that could then be grown into tissue and then into organs. And so scientists, you know, their worldview a lot of times is not going to be guided by truth or guided by a rock like we have with the Word. Their motivations are oftentimes going to be pushing the envelope, you know, proving that we can do this, maybe just being successful. I mean, I've been around I've been around some scientists when I worked in the lab for a number of months, and I mean, their life is stressful, and they're trying to produce results. They want to be successful, and they want to be able to get funding for their projects, and if they don't, then they lose their job, and then, so they're going to be pushing the envelope to try to get some results, you know. So I think the motivations are not always pure. It's a lot of times, what can we do? And we're going to prove that we can do this thing and whatever. So, embryonic stem cell research, I just don't think it's necessary at this point. Now, back in the late 90s, the Clinton administration, they said, well, we're going to go ahead and approve, you know, stem cell research here unless something better comes along that seems like it has, you know, equal potential that's maybe less ethically concerning. Well, then in 2001, President Bush at that time went ahead and put a ban on embryonic stem cell research and said, no, you know, this is just not right. Go ahead and get back into the adult stem cell research realm. We're going to put some federal dollars into that, but we're going to put a hold on the embryonic stuff. And then in 2009, President Obama went ahead and reopened the door towards embryonic stem cell research again. And, you know, one concern I have is that I don't think that it's necessary at this point to use embryos. There are other great options at this point. I don't have any problems with using cells from a person that's not requiring us to kind of create a little potential life and then to stop it for our own gain, no matter how noble that purpose is. You know, we've all got family members that have been sick, maybe have problems, and everybody wants them to get better. But at what cost are we willing to do that? And that's where I think you have to be extremely careful with embryonic stem cell research.
So to whoever submitted that question, thanks for blowing all of our minds in that whole little discussion, because I think everyone was doing it. But hopefully, I think Dr. Jake brought it around.